Welcome. I'm Ivy Rivera. I'm a psychic medium, a Taíno Arawak, and this is Roots Revival Interfaith, where we cover the three different truths in the universe, meaning intuitive intelligence, numerology, and astrology. And we believe here in our religion that if you follow these three truths, they're not only going to keep you on the path that you chose to come to Earth to fulfill, but they're also going to help you with your healing and to find greater truth in the universe so that you can ultimately go out with integrity and help and assist others to also develop. So today at Roots Revival, I am here with Christina Del Rey, our astrologer, and we will be talking about self-forgiveness, why we struggle. So I encourage you guys to post your questions or comments. We are an interactive church, so we're going to be taking all of your questions more toward the end of the service, like always. I also want to encourage you to post your prayer and healing requests. Christina and I will be praying and manifesting over those, as will your fellow parishioners here, but we also go back. So even if you're watching this as a video download later, once it's published, go ahead and drop those in the comment section. Christina and I do go back for several weeks and we check over your prayer and healing requests. So please do so at this time. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a repeat parishioner here, we encourage you guys to please pray and offer support in the comment sections and also with manifestation over everyone's requests and needs here. So let's talk about it. Okay. Self-forgiveness, why we struggle. When I went to find some type of a meme, you know, or a great post I could put up about this yesterday to promote this service, I was not finding anything good. And I was like, all right, maybe I need to check another platform. So I'm sort of jumping around and I'm looking and looking and digging. And I'm like, this should not be so hard. Why is no one talking in a productive way about self-forgiveness? Now, what I did find was one sort of black background with red letters in block format. And it said, self-forgiveness is a, and then in bold, prerequisite to your ability to heal. And it said something on the bottom, like, I don't know, it was some men's group or some like bro code thing, you know? And I was like, wow, that's powerful. And then I looked at it again and I was like, it's also off-putting and untrue. It is not that it is necessarily a prerequisite, okay, for your healing. However, it may be a point of major breakthrough for you. And I was like, this is too harsh. I can't even use this. And so I said to Spirit, show me something. Where is this post? If you told me to make it, give it to me. So the very next one, right under that very harsh approach, was this beautiful woman, Native woman, looking up. Okay. So like, it, you know, indigenous earrings and tattoos and attire, and she's looking up to the sky, just sort of in a humble energy, saying to herself, I forgive myself for the choices I made while I was in survival mode. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's what I'm talking about with today's sermon. That we are not always responsible to the extent that we think we should be for the choices that we have made. And sometimes we are not holding ourselves accountable. That can also be true. But we need to break down why. And what it means in the larger universal scheme of things in regards to law of attraction and karma. So I'm going to go ahead and speak on this first, and then I'm going to switch it over to you, Christina, and Mary, our beautiful producer. Again, we'll be taking your questions and comments, okay? So keep dropping them in the comment section wherever you are. Donations are appreciated. Thanks. All right, so the first thing that's really important to understand, let's just get this out of the way. If you're here, if you even tuned into this, if you're watching this video replay, I just want to say kudos, all right? You're not as maybe toxic as you think, or, you know, maybe your mistakes, you know, are more forgiven in a universal way than what you realize, because it takes a mindful person, a willing heart, to show up here today and to say, I want to examine the choices I've made in life more, and I want to make sure that I'm thinking and coming from a higher vibration in my life. So the fact that you're owning it is a big deal, because most people are most definitely mindless about what it is that they do, how it is that they affect others, and what they plan to do in the future. Okay, there's not much thoughtful energy going into that, I assure you. So good for you, okay, for even being here. So a couple different things. On a universal scale, I want to talk about karma. I know that when we hear the word karma, traditionally we think punishment. We think consequence. However, karma can be delivered in a high vibrational, good feeling, prosperity dynamic, or it can be delivered as a stressful, now you're in a holding phase, almost a sense of punishment or negativity because you haven't learned. You've chosen not to grow. You've chosen not to participate. So it depends on you. Karma is not predicted. Karma is based on your free will. So when we go through different situations, it's up to us whether we choose a high vibration or a low vibration. And if you want that high payout, sort of like if your parents had a trust fund for you, but you couldn't have it till you were 18, you know, or you put money in the bank, you're waiting on that bank payout to come to you when you need it. You have to do the work to get that. So karma is all about being, hopefully, in your case, a reward. And I want to say that it is about your intention as well. If you aren't paying attention to this, you're probably unable to self-forgive, to move on to the next step of forgiveness in general from your situation, of other people, of yourself. And what do I mean by intention in this case? What I mean is that the universe is basing your karmic high or low payout on your intention. So if you went into a situation where you didn't mean to do harm, but you did do harm, and you're hating yourself for it, or you're feeling like you're a terrible person for it, you have guilt over that, it isn't like the universe is judging you harshly on that, or that your karma is necessarily a very low vibration. It is that you thought you were doing something good or something else, or you were not aware. Now, it doesn't let you off the hook. You still need to be more aware. And now you have an opportunity to choose a higher action. But be careful harshly judging yourself when your intentions were not toxic. I think we don't spend enough time asking ourselves, why did I do that? And that leads me into the second point that I want to make here before we get into the how-tos of how to work with today's message, how to apply it to your life every day. So the second point I want to make is that for those of you who were born into abuse or neglect, or you're a minority, you're marginalized. I mean, there are a million different ways that we can end up, not necessarily just, you know, being abused by our family, but I'm saying like even being abused by the entire system that you reside in. Okay. When you come from an atmosphere like that, you have to understand that you are most of the time functioning from survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, you are not necessarily doing things with ill intent. You're doing things to stay alive, to get your basic needs met when everything in the game is stacked up against you, to work against you, to take what you have managed to get your hands on away from you. So not only have you been struggling your whole life to gain access to the things that you need to survive, you have to fight to hold on to them 24/7. There's no sense of progression. It's just exhaustion. So I understand if you came from a traumatized, you know, background in any way. I think of the prison system and, occurrences where people keep going back because they get back out into society and there's nothing to hold on to. You can't get a job. You can't get housing. It's illegal to be homeless at this point. I mean, it just goes around and around and around and around and around. You lost your support system a lot of the time. And, you know, repeat recidivism, is that how you say it? Anyways, you understand what I'm saying. It's sort of like that, okay? When we talk about self-forgiveness and need to be more aware of whether or not we are coming from a place of survival or not, okay? Thank you for the hearts on TikTok. So let's get into it. Tools that you can use, all right? How to move through life, actually using a couple key tools, creating a new system for yourself so that you can get up and over this hump, lacking self-forgiveness. So number one, yes, you do need to own it. Yes, you do need to take responsibility for it. And I think that having a willingness to, simply say, I am ready to do that is huge. The universe will automatically start sending you the right people, the right groups, the right therapist if you need it, okay? The right self-help videos or self-help books, whatever it is, to assist you in working through this process. I do want to warn you that if you're in this first stage, you do run the risk of having naysayers, negative Nancys and Nellies around you who are stagnant with their own problems, their own energy, their own toxicity, who are going to try to, like crabs in a bucket, take you back down. So it's always in that first major decision you're making mentally to get free from something that we see a point of attack. There's a free mini class up here on my YouTube channel at Ask Ivy called Fighting the Dark. There's a part one and a part two. Watch it. I talk in there about new level, new devil, okay? The five different ways you go under attack when you're about to level up in a significant way. This is going to happen to you. It isn't even necessarily that, back to the example of a prisoner who got out and had great intentions to live a better life. Here's another example. It's not necessarily just the people around you crab in a bucket trying to take you down, like maybe friends or family or toxic spouse or whatever. It could also be blocks and obstacles coming from the world around you, like someone attacking you on the street or, you know, some accident that could, maybe the police harassing you because they've already got eyes. They want you back in there. You know what I mean? There's going to be a whole system. Again, know the five different ways, okay, of attack that come in. And it's a science and you need to be prepared for it, all right? And you can overcome it, absolutely, 100%, but not if you're not educated and aware and watching, all right? So that's step number one. Step number two, you need to examine by asking whether or not you knew, okay, that what you did was really wrong or deceptive, toxic or harmful to someone else. I think that you should take into consideration also whether or not you were in survival mode and you were doing it to sustain yourself or your family. A great example is like I was kicked out when I was 9 years old. My mother told me she didn't want me in the house anymore. Kind of panicked, but I also knew she wasn't going to try to pull that yet. She wasn't going to like lock me out yet. No, she did by the time I was 12. And she did that at 12, 13. It reached a point, there was no point in even trying to get back in the house. I had people helping me break in through the basement to get back in the middle of winter in New York, 6 feet of snow. She would have me locked out of the house. She did not want to have anything to do with me. You reach a point where you realize you're on your own sometimes. And whether you're providing for yourself, you're providing for your family, or you're just trying to make life happen, you can find yourself. I was homeless for like 6 years. And during that time, I did some things. Maybe I'll do a show on it sometime. I did some things I'm not proud of. And I did some things I have guilt for. And I did some things that I have apologized for or tried to make up for. But, you know, sometimes these things can haunt you regardless and almost be like a whisper in your ear, like you're a bad person. And if you don't stop yourself dead in your tracks, that's going to suck you in and take you down. I have learned that I have to stop when I start to feel guilt or anxiety or overly emotional, bad about myself, a sinking feeling in my stomach. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. I was triggered. What just triggered me? And I need to go back to the root issue. What is it that I did that is still haunting me? And I have to ask myself, did I do it from a place of survival mode because I was like starving or homeless or what have you, you know? Or, you know, did I do this thing intentionally? I didn't have to. I chose it. I was out of control, whatever. And I think that once you start to get more honest with yourself about whether or not you knew what you were doing or you had no clue what you were doing, or you were in survival mode, or you were not in survival mode, it's going to help you to sort of categorize where things lie. And you can work through any additional issues that you have there where you haven't done the shadow work or the growth versus knowing it's time to let this go. I have to let this go. I have to, at this point, replace this toxic reaction that I'm having to a trigger that's making me feel guilty, where I have not succeeded in self-forgiveness yet. Okay, and that leads into number three. So number three, you need to find a way to replace the guilt with the toxic thinking about not being able to forgive yourself with new habits, new thoughts. So we're talking in number three about tools. Where do you get tools to do that? I think that if you're going to go to a therapist for something like this, you need to be very specific, okay? I was put in therapy just for the mediumship ability, just for going in and out of a trance state in school. They wondered what the heck I was doing when I was like 5 years old. So I've been in and out of therapists, had countless misdiagnoses into my third. I've tried everything. Also to help with my PTSD from all the trauma I've been through. And OCD. And when you have things like that, PTSD and OCD, you have cyclical patterns of negative thinking. You get stuck in a cycle. And while they like to say women don't typically have that, I disagree. I just think men have gotten far more attention in every area of scientific and psychological study, medical studies, you know, throughout time. It's white Christian males. Those are the ones that get the attention. So when they say things like women don't typically have OCD or that's rare, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. So you need to understand whether or not you have some neurodivergent stuff going on, whether or not you have something like PTSD, which is going to trigger you in a more severe way. You need to then choose, if you are going to go to a therapist, someone who fully, fully comprehends this and works from that space, who understands what these disorders are and how you need specific tools to help you navigate through the triggers and trauma reactions. So with the tools that you choose to use, what I'm saying here is they need to be specified to you. And I think that a lot of people also don't find therapy to be very productive. Because right now the society, especially here in America, we're all broke. You know, it's hard to imagine investing $150, $200 in an hour of someone who kind of didn't really get you anywhere. Or as soon as you start to get into it, you're cut off. If that's going to upset you, then find another way. There are a million different ways to get therapeutic about this. Thank you for the hearts. You can watch YouTube videos, you know, you could Google it, you could do self-help books, you could, you know, download stuff for free. So treat it like a science project, become your own researcher and figure out what's going to work for you. But at the core of all of this, you need to understand that you're going to have the trigger, then you're going to have the toxic thought, then you're going to have the toxic feeling, and then you run the risk of getting into the toxic behavior from the lack of self-forgiveness. So what we need to do is get into a habit of catching it. I had the toxic thought. I am moving into the toxic feeling. And it's usually right around that time, okay? Spirit starts to show up, or your higher mind starts to say, alert, alert, alert. We're falling down a rabbit hole we don't want to be in. And you need to catch it right there. Slap on the hand and you go, stop. I'm controlling my mind. I am stopping this, and we are going to replace it with something better. Now, the question is just, what do you want to replace it with? Okay. I personally, in my own life, have found that I replace everything. It's sort of all the same ball game with a thought, a vision of what I want things to be, or how what I've learned from that experience has made me so much more powerful, or how I've alchemized it and I've transmuted it into good, something good, and what will come from that good, you know, not only in the future, but now. I just fix it. I tweak it. I fix it. Don't forget, we are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are a combination of spirit manipulation and random babblings, and, you know, it's like a hodgepodge of junk. We are not what we think, and you must control what you think, because while it is powerful, it is not representative of who or what you are necessarily. So I also just want to recommend that you don't try to do this nonstop. I have a lot of clients who don't know how to turn it off. And I have a lot of students sort of with their spiritual development who also don't know how to turn it off. There is a time and a place for everything, right? Everything in its season. And what I have found personally is that if I'm working on something that's this powerful, like self-forgiveness, you're doing a lot of deconstructing. You're doing a lot of deprogramming. That is exhausting. And if you try to push it beyond like maybe 2 or 3 months, you're going to hit a burnout. And there's no need to do that, because while we want to like get to the finish line, which is a societal construct, all right? It's instant gratification. That is not how the universe works. Or we want to like wrap it up and just get our karma over with. Karma doesn't give up about what you want. Karma takes its sweet ass time every time. It's a guarantee. And you can't think of healing as being like a linear path. It is cyclical. Okay, like layers of an onion. It's going to go round and around. 5 years later, there will be another layer to this onion. 10 years later, another piece. Okay. People say even on their deathbeds, research shows that while people are in the death process, they talk about lessons that they're learning. They talk about relationships they had even back in elementary school that are still teaching them something. This is the human experience. So there's no point in you rushing. Okay, that's it. Before you start burning out from this, take a break. Do something else and get back to it later. Live your life while you're doing this. I would also not recommend getting into excessive states of like hibernation. While I do recommend taking personal space to process, don't overdo that either. I think that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Looking forward is key. Okay, looking forward, meaning, you know, being positive about your future. A lot of people are talking now on like social media about my future self. I'm investing in my future self. And I'm like, I watched a couple videos on that. I'm like, I like this. This makes sense. You know, it's basically another form of manifestation, but it's just envisioning what you will be or where you will be or how things will be. All right. So I'm letting go of this and I'm replacing it with this. Tiana says, I'm definitely resonating with this. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Tiana Lissette Ruiz. What a gorgeous name. So thank you, Tiana. Yeah, good. Also I think that, we need to again, think back to a quick fix. Say you're at work, whatever. Okay. You're freaking out. You're in the middle of the day. You got three kids in the backseat, whatever. If this creeps up on you, I want you to just do this. And I want to revisit the first thing I said in this sermon today. Just the fact that you're even thinking this way is a sign that you are a good person, that you are already reaching for a higher vibration, that you are trying to work through it. And the universe cares about that more than anything. The universe doesn't care if you're on step 10 or step one. The universe simply cares that you are trying and you are taking care of yourself and you're stretching and reaching for the right thing, okay? For that higher vibration. So you could stop yourself dead in your tracks and just say, okay, I'm guilting myself. I'm feeling bad about something. Just the fact that I'm recognizing that and wanting to work through it is a good sign, okay? I'm being rewarded for that right now. I don't even have to do the work yet. I'm being rewarded right now just for recognizing it. That's a quick fix to a bigger problem. I do want to switch this over to Christina Del Rey, our astrologer. How are you, Christina? What do you have to say on this today?
Excellent. So I feel strongly that like self-forgiveness is a process. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. It requires a relationship, you know, with spirit in some shape or form, because you can't really do it yourself. You need to have a relationship. Forgiving yourself isn't going to help. You have to feel like your relationship with spirit aligns. And when you talked a lot about survival and how people do things in survival. In astrology, we kind of look to Mars as being the survival planet. So taking a look at your Mars, seeing where that might be, where you might have had to go into survival mode in your chart. I feel like karma is very much linked to Saturn, because Saturn is the planet of karma. And, you know, if you look at Saturn in your chart and, you know, you do your Saturn lessons, that always helps with putting up boundaries. And I think putting up boundaries is key when you're trying to forgive yourself. We talked about, you know, people can change. We know this, but it takes work. You become a new person when you work on yourself. You become more high vibrational. So when you do that Saturn work that you have to do, anything that is touching Saturn in your chart, the house that Saturn is in your chart, these are all areas where you're probably going to need self-forgiveness at some point. And the boundaries that come with Saturn are very important to protect yourself. If you know your chart or any of your astrology, I would see where you have to forgive yourself. I would look at the cusp of that house and then check the planetary ruler of that house, where that is. But remember the intentions you had at the time. And maybe your intentions weren't bad, but maybe they were. If you were a person who had bad intentions and you carried them out, that also can be forgiven. You can also forgive yourself for that. You need to have that relationship with spirit. At some point, you have to surrender this. So, you know, like, at least in my past, I have carried things with me for a very long time, couldn't even look at them. You know, like, oh, I did that, but I can't even look at it because I'm so upset about it, or I can't even believe that I did it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think that, you know, acceptance is the key to forgiveness. I mean, realizing the human in you, the fact that you have the regret, like you were saying, if you have regret, then you are not a sociopath. You are not a person without a conscience. Therefore, you know, you are human. Now you can't take back what happened. You know, it doesn't reverse. But what you can do is take it and surrender it to a higher power, to, you know, God or whatever you know, the universe, whatever you call it. And this is very freeing. And in astrology, these are cycles. And when it comes time to surrender this, you will just know. You'll just know. It will come, but it's not going to come without you putting in the work. So the work is the Saturn part. That's the key. You have to put in the work. You have to be accepting of what happened. You have to try to do some restitution, you know, to make up for whatever it is. And you have to change your mindset. And I really do believe you were talking about, like, you know, not everybody needs therapy, like you were saying. You can listen to people on the internet. I know there's a lot of really good self-help videos out there from psychologists and psychiatrists, but
we had nothing in the 80s and the 90s, and the cats are looking over all my cameras right now. Hey,
books,
books. And where were you even?
Yeah.
It was a library to look up a log of books that are, we didn't even at one point have like Barnes and Noble. I mean, like, yeah. Crazy.
Well, I listened to a very famous book, actually, when I first started my spiritual, a couple of them, but when I first started my spiritual journey, and I listened because it was about positive mindset. So I listened in the car on the way to work and in the car on the way home. And it just became like school for me. The car became like school. And I just really had to learn to change my mindset during that time. And probably after a year, I did really well with it. So that really helped changing the mindset. Working on yourself constantly is crucial. We all have to work on ourselves constantly. If you are stuck, that is when you are failing, when things are going to go south. You have to constantly challenge yourself and level yourself up. And it goes along with self-forgiveness as well. And you talked a little bit about toxic thoughts, and how your mind can get sick. Like the mind can get ill just from looping thoughts.
Yes.
Right. And we have this sort of manic, you might not be manic, but we sort of have this manic way, this OCD way of going over and over and over the same thoughts, and they're not necessarily good thoughts, they're toxic thoughts. So in order to transmute that energy, you cannot do the same things that you were doing over and over again. You have to do something completely different. So for me, completely different was taking a book that was really positive and putting it in my CD player at the time and listening to it constantly until it just sunk in and became my way of thinking. So whatever that is for you, think about doing something like that. Also to remember that everybody has darkness. Light does not exist without darkness. Therefore, we have to look at both sides. Every person has dark in them. Your job is to meet the dark, look at it, and look at it for long enough where you can purify your intentions and you can come out of this higher vibrational for what you have learned from it. Be truthful too. You know, don't be like, well, you know, I didn't really mean it. No, maybe you did at the time. and that, you know, and that's okay. I mean, you have to deal with whatever came up for you that you need to forgive yourself for, and you can't run from it. If you run from it, trust me, that is the worst thing you can do. The absolute positive worst. Acceptance is owning it. It doesn't mean you condone what happened. You know what I mean? Like, well, I did that. You know, I'm really upset with myself. Okay. But you accept it. That's the first rule. That's the first step. Now you have to transmute it. You know, now you have to restitution, transmuting. But this is a process that goes over time. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be tomorrow. But you have to get yourself there. It is your responsibility to get yourself there. Nobody can do this for you. Only you can do it. And you have to focus on yourself and go within. If you are too focused on what's going on outside of you, you're never going to be able to forgive yourself. Because you're too worried about what this person thinks or what that person thinks, or, you know, like everybody's opinions about what happened. That is nothing to do with you. It's not your business. You just don't listen to what people have to say. You're going to communicate with spirit, and you're going to work it out in that way. Because if you don't do this, if you don't have that focus you're going to get too sidetracked and people's opinions are going to start mattering. And never talk to anybody you don't completely fully trust and that doesn't have your best intentions in mind. Mm-hmm. And karma, you spoke about karma a lot, and karma is just, it's law. I mean, we can't argue with karma. Like, karma happens, good or bad, doesn't matter. It's both high vibrational, low vibrational. It doesn't discriminate. It just comes, And like you said, it takes its sweet time, right?
Yep.
Saturn sort of forces you to face things. Certain transits will force you to look at your shadow, or, a Pluto transit. Lots of Aquarians are coming up on there, lots of Aquarians are experiencing a Pluto transit now. And, there are dark things that have to be looked at with that. But that doesn't mean you're a bad person. That doesn't mean you're a dark person. It just means you're acknowledging that you're human and the darkness is within you. But the light is going to outshine the darkness because you're going to work on yourself until that happens. Pisces really correlates with surrender. And Saturn right now is in Pisces, so is Neptune. So this is a really good time to surrender, whatever you need to surrender to the universe and forgive yourself. The South Node is endings and culmination. So when a planet passes the South Node in your chart, sometimes that's a release. Sometimes that is just you being ready to give it up. A full moon or an eclipse, those are excellent times for endings, especially a lunar eclipse. There is divine timing in the universe. So it's up to you to work yourself up to that point. And then when it comes, you're going to feel it. But Saturn says that you can't get the payout unless you do the work. So this is no different. You have to work on self-forgiveness the same way you would work on anything else. And I think that's all I have here.
Well, I love that you mentioned a full moon, because we get a full moon every month.
Yeah.
And if you're a Cancer, okay, like me, every week and a half, you change dramatically. And when that full moon, I feel like it's helped me, given all the trauma and all the chaos I've had. I feel like being a Cancer, for example, so you may want to look at Cancer's cycles in astrology and mimic them a bit. Especially if you don't have any of it in your chart, okay, or know where it is in your chart. But to be able to every month release a bunch of stuff, I used to do these drum circles back before the pandemic. And they were some of the most successful groups I ever did for Roots Revival or the Ivy League Psychic Academy. My own reading business, these drum circles were like maybe once a month or definitely Equinox I always hit. And we would bring in a professional who knew how to lead a drum circle. And they brought a ton of drums. So it was really nice that way. And we would release in the middle of the circle a piece of paper that said what it was that we wanted to let go of. And then I would also just have people write down their intentions for what they wanted to like replace it with or something new they want to create. Not everything has to come from what you're letting go. Okay. Sometimes you can just let something go and leave it dead, done, over with. That's fine. But it was so powerful. These things got so big. I'm excited to bring them back. So if you choose to do something like that, that's great. Or maybe you want to have a piece of paper and burn it. If you have a fire pit in your backyard, you want to burn it, I don't care, over your stove, or just write it down and release it, rip it up, tear it up, let it go. Okay. Do a ceremony on your own. If this isn't stuff, you feel like doing with a bunch of other people, and you don't ever have to share it a group like that. No one's going to ask you to air your dirty laundry, of course, but maybe you do feel more powerful. Like Christina was saying, work with your guides, work with your ancestors, work with spirit and your angels. Don't forget, you have angels appointed to you. You have guides appointed to you when you come to Earth. Their focus is your healing and growth. Okay. So they will help you. Ask them if you can't also, this is, You know, another thing, if you don't know exactly where it is that you're having the problem, ask them. Take 20 minutes to sit down with your guides, your angels, your ancestors, your higher mind, and say, just show me. They'll tell you. They've been dying to tell you. They've been telling you all day, every day, probably for the last 15, 20 years, whatever it is. I don't care how far back it goes. They'll show you and give you instruction on how to step forward even next. Like, what is the next step after that? Christina, I love that you brought up that in astrology right now, it is a time of surrender, because that makes this sermon super timely. That's interesting. I also love that you said, maybe you did do it. Okay. Maybe you did have a horrible attitude, or you were deceptive, or you were whatever. You know, I think of how narcissism is just exploding worldwide, right? Internationally, we see it. And it's a generational problem. And not everyone ends up having, who had like a narc parent, becomes a narcissist, but there are narcissistic tendencies that I think so many of us are battling all the time. And it's almost become normal, you know, just given the societies we live in. So maybe you did do it. But I love that you said that's also okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And we're going to use that and move through that. I like too that you said every person is darkness. Yeah, let's be realistic, which leads me into the last thing. I just want to play off what you said here. Who cares what anyone else thinks? I would love to see a perfect, pristine soul come up in all their shiny splendor and judge you righteously, okay, with accuracy. No, not going to happen. Never. If you are here having a human experience on earth, you've got work to do. So none of us who are going through the process of deprogramming or self-forgiveness or shadow work or any of this, okay, none of us have to care. We are not obligated to worry about what other people think or say or the accusations they make. They will have their own karma delivered to them, often immediately. Okay. You may get a front row seat to the karma show when they go against you who's trying to do the work. So don't worry about everybody else. And this is, again, one of the most important things we talk about here at Roots Revival, that you need to center yourself. Don't forget a couple key things. First of all, stay in your lane, center yourself at all times. Don't have your thoughts and your energy wide open and your emotions open to everyone around you. What's everybody doing? What's everybody saying? Stay in your lane, stay centered, and make sure you have your bulletproof vest on. Okay. No one, from your children to a spouse to your parents to society, is an extension of you. No one, no other human being is an extension of you. They are all on their own journey. Thank God, and keep it that way. Okay. I think we have questions and comments coming in. Maybe Mary, our beautiful producer, will be taking them. If you haven't already posted your questions or comments, please do so at this time. Give this video a thumbs up. Subscribe. Donations are appreciated. And please also post your prayer and healing requests. We are Roots Revival Interfaith. We are a church. We are a community. And we're all going to be praying over your healing and prayer requests and manifesting for you. Also, if you're watching this later, once it's published, go ahead and drop those in the comment section, because Christina and I do go back and check for several weeks. All right. Do we have, yes, Tiana Lissette Ruiz says, this recent full moon for us, Leos, was everything. They have drum circles here in Florida that are super helpful, I'm sure, in Florida. We would die. Can you imagine stepping outside from, like, I think we get frostbite here in New York in like something like 25 seconds. It's ridiculous. That sounds amazing. Yeah, Christina, you're a Leo. You want to talk on the full moon in Leo?
Oh my gosh, it really was everything. I had a great full moon in Leo, and it was standing across from Pluto too, so I wasn't sure what to expect. But I have to tell you, it was very powerful. And I don't know, for me, it was very exciting for what's to come. It was just, the only aspect really was Pluto, I think. And it you know, it kind of gave us a little bit of excitement of what's to come.
Yay. Kat Kelly says, I really needed this. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear this is striking a chord. Cody says, thanks heaps. You're so welcome. And yeah, if we don't have any other questions, Misubi says, very helpful stuff here. Good.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that like self-forgiveness is huge shadow work. You know, it's just big. Facing your demons, facing, you know, facing the things that you don't like about yourself. That is just huge shadow work. I mean, it's not done in a day. That's for sure.
Bethany Renner said, by the way, great glasses, ladies. Thank you, Bethany.
So hate that I have to wear them.
Oh, really? I like mine. I always wanted to be like the four-eyed geek thing. I don't know. It it's never bothered me, which is good because I'm blind as a bat. I wouldn't be here without them. You look good, Christina. They're adorable. Mm-hmm. I've only seen you with her. I've known her like, I don't know what, we've been hanging out 12, 13 years, something. Yeah. Maybe once, twice have ever seen you with your glasses on. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Adorable. So Hunter says, how do we forgive ourselves for things we haven't received the karma on? Well, you are still thinking in terms of waiting on some type of punishment. You know, you're not the one who decides. You're not God, okay? You're not the universe. So you don't have to say, my punishment has not been enough, or I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, or I'm going to live like a chihuahua, like paranoid, that there's a terrible foreboding brewing in me because something bad is coming that I deserve. I earned this horrible thing. Maybe nothing is coming, Hunter. I mean, like, maybe you did your time. Maybe you learned from it enough that the universe is like, he's got it. He's good to go. That works out, right? The maths, it's fine. Go forward. If we live our lives waiting for the universe to deliver payouts or punishments that are based on our societal programmed human constructs, we're not really living yet. You know, we're just on pins and needles. And you are, I think, Hunter, equating this idea of karma and universal law to a structure that the world around you has created in terms of like punishment and what's evil and what's bad and shame on you. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I feel like we don't have to wait for the karma to do the work. We can make amends. We can, do restitution. We can talk to a therapist. You know, back in the day, you would go to the priest, right? The Catholics would go to the priest and confess their sins to the priest. And then they would have, I don't know, the prayer restitution or whatever. But, you know, same idea, less daunting and horrible. But, you know, like you're
productive.
Yes.
So, you know, you're telling Marys. Yeah.
You're telling someone, maybe it's a trusted partner, or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's your psychiatrist, whomever, but, you know, you're telling them, you're getting it out. You do the restitution, you do the shadow work, you see how you can integrate this into your life as part of you, but yet you learned from it and you're moving on. So that is what is really the most important thing, is that you didn't stay there. You're not continuing to do it. So I don't know. For me, I think, you know, like just how you live the rest of your life is really, you know, you're going to forgive yourself through all that shadow work and what you do with the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait on nothing. Wait on nothing. Just do the work and don't worry about it. That's sort of like the equivalent of waiting on an outcome, or I'm not going to do this unless I'm guaranteed, you know, a certain kind of payout. And it's like, sometimes you just have to move forward in life in blind faith. Often you have to move forward in blind faith.
And I'm learning that.
Crazy. Yeah. Blind faith. You take a leap.
Blind faith.
You've done it in other areas. You got to do it in this one. And I love that, you know, Christina, you brought up shadow work. We have some classes. I think it's a part 1, 2, and 3 on shadow work here at Ask Ivy on YouTube. Free mini classes, free church services. So put it in the search bar, shadow work at Ask Ivy, and see what pops up. And that'll sort of break it down for you one step at a time in bite-sized pieces. We have other questions or comments. We have another one from an Edgar Velardes. As a therapist, it's an occurring theme I see in my clients. Thank you both. Yes. And thanks, Edgar, for sharing as a professional, you know, therapist, because I felt very much like out of all the therapists I ever went to or was sent to because of my mediumship abilities and, you know, PTSD stuff going on, I feel like there was only one, honestly, in all of them. If I can remember back, and I was in my late 20s, and she would hit the nail on the head sometimes. She would say things that triggered me, and I would cry because she struck a nerve where it was tapping into the grief, the shame, the guilt. And I was like, dang, what is this woman doing? Like, how did she know to do this? It was almost magical. It was horrible. But I referred to her as the freight train. And I would tell people after that, look, if you need to go to therapy and you need to recoup from some trauma and do some forgiveness stuff, you got to get hit by a freight train sometimes, you know, or a Mack truck. It can't be like nice and easy. And so, yeah, it depends on who you go to. And like Edgar was saying, you know, this is something he sees, but you want someone who's going to help you get to that, to those root issues, you know, not just stay surface.
Yeah, I think it's important to, like, obviously, you don't want to run into your triggers every day, but you need to really, when you are triggered, you need to see it all the way through. You know, you need to really, you know, you need to do whatever you need to do, calm yourself down, whatever. But afterwards, that's where the work is. You know, you write down what you feel, or you talk into your phone how you feel. You know, you gotta get it out somehow. And then, you know, the healing can kind of come in.
Well, and that's a good point too, because earlier we were talking a lot about how maybe you are going to choose not to go to therapy. You want to do this privately somehow. You want to do this on your own time. And it can be such a huge trigger because it is so deep rooted that maybe the last 20 minutes you have in your session isn't the best time for it to come out. Maybe it's not going to come out in therapy, or it never has. And that could be why. You just don't have enough time and money to throw at the problem, you know? And so that's fine. Do it on your own.
Yeah, I love that. There's so many resources with TikTok and stuff now too.
It's a different world.
I love it.
My life would just be so different if we didn't have to do all of this, like so much of it on our own, you know, through the 80s and the 90s. It's like, you guys have the best of everything. Everything's right at your fingertips. There's no excuse to not do it, you know?
Exactly.
Any other questions or comments coming in? So Christina Hernandez says, hi, Christina. I have my Saturn in Pisces and my Sun in Pisces. I love that. Can you explain how to use Saturn to help forgive or do shadow work?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So a lot of it's going to be in the dream space probably, or like, you know, like your connection to spirit. But Saturn being in Pisces now, and Saturn, in Pisces, I don't know if it's past your Saturn and Sun yet, but just Saturn being in Pisces is going to make you have make you work hard, create boundaries, create rituals that you need to do, you know, some kind of restriction, maybe like a spiritual practice too, because Pisces, you know, is the spirit on the other side, and Saturn is kind of the container that holds it. It puts regimented, you know, or like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of the word, you know, like every day you do the same thing over and over again, like good habits, but with spirit. So that could be journal writing, or that could be, but like, you know, you're constantly working on it and writing it. And I think that you just, as a Pisces, it might even be a little bit easier for you to surrender sometimes. But you have to do the work to get there. So Saturn's going to make you do the work. But I would think after it passed your Sun, after it passed Saturn, that like the cycle will be kind of, you know, giving it, surrendering it. But you got to do the work first. So wherever that is in your chart, look at the house and see where your Neptune is too. Your Neptune.
Beautiful. Love it. Amen. So we have another comment coming in here from Matthews. Aguaro says, always appreciate a different insight. Thank you. You're very welcome. Absolutely. Just hearing different. I think there needs to be a lot more discussion on this topic. I think too, and not to sound like a negative Nancy, but let's face it, you know, we've got the toxic medical system, we've got a for-profit system. You know, a lot of people may not want to speak out on this as much because you become very empowered and free when you do this. They want to keep you on those meds. They want to keep you in that therapy. They want to keep you down. You understand? Like, don't be deceived. There's a reason we don't hear enough on this. Let's move on to another comment. I see a bunch of them here. Mary Ann Gullo says, Ivy, you have great courage to share your own personal experiences as an example. I think compassion is part of self-forgiveness. Thank you for saying so, Mary. Compassion is part of self-forgiveness. Yes, 100%. I will say, too, that I, in recent years, have reached a point, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it has to come from downfalls or upsetting experiences or have something, you know, in your face or have like my father, who was super abusive, passed. Like, I guess it'll be 2 years. I don't know. My head is in a warp. But, you know, that was a huge trigger. And when something like that happens, you could say, yes, this is a negative thing. Oh, you know, it's stirring up a lot of triggers in me. Oh, woe is me. Or, you know, you could say, you know what? And that was my point, my turning point in regards to forgiveness and guilt and weird, deep-rooted stuff I didn't even know was there. I became so self-loving. I didn't ever pay attention when people would speak on self-care and self-love, nurturing yourself. I always, to a degree, was able to center myself because I had to learn that as a kid for survival. So I never necessarily centered anyone else in my life. But in that centered state, I didn't really do a lot of self-love and self-care. I didn't prioritize things that would make me happy or, you know, bring me joy or peace. I was, you know, pushing myself very hard. And when he passed, that trigger allowed me to be so much more, I don't know why, but so much more compassionate to myself. And that's where a ton of self-forgiveness came in from all areas and angles of my life. So I just love that you mentioned that, that you're feeling that. It's so true. Compassion leads to self-forgiveness. Yes.
Yeah. And compassion for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, we're so hard on ourselves, often more hard on ourselves than others. And I, you know, like you, Ivy, I grew up like basically hating myself. So it has been a journey to self-love and self-forgiveness. So, you know, it's like you're just, you be compassionate, not just with others, but with yourself, and do the work. Yeah.
Amen. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for the hearts coming in on TikTok. If you haven't already done so, please do like this video. Donations are appreciated. Drop a comment. It helps us out in the algorithm. And subscribe. Any other questions or comments? Christina Hernandez says, thank you, Christina, for that information. And Melissa,
I highly recommend meditation because meditation gets you out of the mind, especially for the Christina, if she's a Pisces.
I was just saying, especially for the Pisces.
Yeah. So meditation, communing with spirit, and having a daily ritual of it, which is what I am working on.
Amen. Yeah. So helpful. Misubi says, wait on nothing. I like that. Yeah, absolutely. You guys don't wait on anything. Just keep moving forward. We have to keep the wheel going. It really does need to be us at the center, getting it running, you know, at all times. Again, that does not mean that you shouldn't be taking breaks from this work. You know, we're saying like, do it all the time. Yes, work on yourself all the time. You know, you don't take a 5-year break, but maybe you need to take on this particular topic a 1-month break, you know, after doing it for a few months or something like that. But know when it is in the season to focus on and when it's time to step back, that it will renew itself and have to come back around to something more you have to examine. This is not a quick fix, for sure not.
Right. I see stuff with kids all the time because I work with kids. So this is, you know, teenagers. You don't know about this stuff often, but they should.
Right. Right. Okay. Any other questions or comments coming in here, Mary? Laura, don't forget to give the cats treats. Yes, my cats have gone from slim and slender summer beach, you know, cats to like Garfield. But yes, you understand I'm getting scratched and I'm bleeding here because, and I gave them treats right before I came down. There will be more treats. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. So Laura says, thank you as always. Okay. You guys are so welcome. Looks like that's pretty much it for questions and comments. So Christina, last word, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Just remember that, you know, self-forgiveness is a process, and when the time is right to surrender, you will, but in the meantime, do what you can. And then, like you said, get away from it for a little while, come back to it. Cause you're always going to come back to it. Like the layers on the onion, like you were saying.
I would say my last word would be to be careful. Word of caution. A warning in regards to blaming others or your circumstances. When you come from a harsh background and people see you as bait, right? They, how do I want to say this? You're used as bait in different situations. And people know that once you're broken down, whether it be through abuse or trauma or the toxic system we've grown up in, they know that you are essentially game for being conned, and people that are sociopaths and narcissists will latch onto you, and they'll spot that delicate light inside you that desperately wants to heal and be a good person and recoup, and they will take it and stomp it, and they will abuse you more. So anyone who comes from a neglectful or an abusive background in any capacity is prone to attracting people who spot you as a victim, and they're like, yes, here it is. So those are going to be the love partners that you attract. Those are going to be the people you may have unfortunately chosen to co-parent with. That's going to be, you know, people who maybe want to latch onto you in business or, you know, through friendships and things like this to just sort of siphon off of you or take advantage. And you have to, you know, at all times, remember to hold yourself accountable. Okay, there was a red flag and I ignored it. Okay, I chose to put on rose-colored glasses. Okay, I was shown that this person is toxic or abusive or deliberately being inconsistent or whatever. And I knew better. And because I haven't done the work on myself, I allowed myself to fall back into an old pattern. Therefore, any consequences of that, I must own. I cannot do a woe is me, but this is how I wasn't properly raised. I can't do a yes, but my ex was abusive toward me. And so now everything's a mess. You can't do a whatever. You can't. Okay. The police system, societal issues. Nope. Stay centered and own it at all times and be very, very quick to walk away when you see some dark energy. We don't hold space for any of this nonsense in our lives anymore, okay? All right. Well, you guys, it was a pleasure. Roots Revival Interfaith. If you want to go back on YouTube at Ask Ivy and watch all of our old sermons or anywhere that you could download a podcast, we have them up there at Ask Ivy. Also, I wanted to invite you guys to check out my new show. This is called Late Night Circus. I already put up one episode, so you can, you know, again, go onto my YouTube here at Ask Ivy to watch the replay on Late Night Circus. I'm talking about hot topics, current events, trending viral stories, current events and world news from a spiritual, astrological, and energetic perspective. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Let me know, and I will continue to do more. We will see you back here at Roots Revival in a few weeks. Thank you so much, Christina. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We love you.